1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Welcome. We have game one in the books for Murray State Racer football, and we're going to talk about that, get you caught up with everything that went on in the Ohio Valley Conference last night. It was a really busy first night of play with all but three teams involved. One of those, Jacksonville State, they've already played, and the other two will be playing coming up on Saturday. Very busy show today. I'm going to bring you all the scoring highlights from the game last night. We're going to also have the post-game interviews, Josh McKeel interviewing Kenny Wooten and DJ Pennick and Coach Mitch Stewart, and then Bryce Rudd of the Murray Ledger and Times. He'll pay his weekly visit tonight. Murray High football in action. We're going to talk about that game as the Tigers get set to take on Madisonville North Hopkins on the road. And then tomorrow, Callaway County's on the road against Metcalf County. We'll talk about that. Also, probably visit last night's Crosstown Classic action in soccer and volleyball. Really busy night. See what Bryce has on the table for us. Had mono last week, battling through some mono. Hopefully he's turned the corner on that deal. That can be uncomfortable for weeks on end. But we'll check on that a bit later on. Let's go ahead and get you started, because this is about as busy a show when we have all these sports colliding as you could possibly get. Let's start with the Racers. Shuler Bentley threw four touchdown passes. Jordan Gandy caught three of those as Murray State coasted to a 67-7 opening night win over Kentucky Wesleyan last night. That game played in a driving rain and winds courtesy of the remnants of Hurricane Harvey. I said Gandy caught three of those. He actually caught only two from Bentley. Caught another one from Corey Newble, as they had some little trick action that worked. Racer defense was spectacular. To me, that's the story of the night. They held the Panthers to 159 yards. They forced four turnovers, including a pick six from Dylan Boone. Had five sacks, including three from JUCO transfer Kenny Wooten. Offensively, they were good. No big issue there. 457 yards of total offense. They scored on all six trips to the end zone, under the red zone, rather, and making his first start at quarterback. Bentley, pretty good game, really. 18 of 26, 162 yards, four touchdowns, one interception. He did exactly what they expected him to do. He's a guy that doesn't make many mistakes. Last night he didn't. Manages the game well, high percentage, and he was really terrific. I really was impressed with his decision-making. But let's go ahead and throw it out there, because you're going to say, and I'll say the same thing, it was against a Division II team. How he does against Central Arkansas, to me, will speak volumes about exactly what we're going to have back there. But I was very impressed with his poise and decision-making in game one. Because to me, if you struggled and couldn't do it against a Division II team, you're probably not going to feel too good about what he's going to do against the rest of the schedule. But I was really impressed. We'll see if that can continue. Good night for the Racers' freshman running backs. Nick Collins had a good game, led the team in rushing, 75 yards, 14 carries. Got a lot of that in the second half. Jordan Gandy with 90 yards receiving on only four catches. The Racers 1-0. They'll take on Central Arkansas a week from Saturday. Here are all the scoring plays other than the field goal from last night. Let's see what happens here. To the right, it's Pennick. Bentler barks the signals, has the ball, looks right side, floats it right side. It is caught for the touchdown.
Really nice job there by the offense. Just flared Pennick out of the backfield. Linebacker tried to run with him, and Bentley just simply lofted it up. And you show the athleticism there of DJ Pennick coming out and catching the ball out of the backfield. Touchdown Racers.
Perkins and Johnson wide right. Gandy still looking for his first catch. He's wide to the left side. Hogan Camp a wing to the left. Out of shotgun set. The running back stands to the right. Timing pattern left side. Jump. It is Gandy with the grab. And the touchdown, his first catch is six. And the Racers go up 13-0 with 4:12 left in the quarter. Two-step drop. Quarterback fires across the middle. It is tipped and picked off by the Racers. Murray State has it. That's Boone at the 50, 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He'll take it to the house. Touchdown, Dylan Boone. And it's 20-0 on the pick six. Let's see how Shuler Bentley bounces back after throwing a pick. As a man in motion, they'll hand it off to Newble. Newble's going to look to throw the deep ball intended for Gandy. He catches at the 10, the 5, And it's a touchdown. Newbold to Gandy. How about that, Josh? Yep. To the left of Bentley. Out of shotgun. They stack the receivers right and left this time. It's a handoff to Pinnock. Has room. The first down and then some. He's across the 25, 20, 15, 10. He's gone for the touchdown. 36 yards for DJ Pinnock. His second touchdown of the night. One in the air and one on the ground. Rips to the right side. Bentley looks left side. Fires. It's caught by Gandy at the 9. He'll speed to the end zone and get into the end zone for the touchdown. Out of shotgun, two-step drop, looks downfield. This will be his first throw of the half. He has a man in stride, and it is caught for the touchdown to Johnson. What a strike right on the numbers, Josh. He'll get another one. Fakes left, goes right. Off tackle right side, breaks a tackle at the 10, at the 5, and he dives into the end zone for the touchdown. A 10-yard run for Nichols. So it'll be second and goal at the 1 for the Razors. Bognar again at quarterback. They'll go with Collins standing to the left this time. A wide out to the right. Everyone else to the left. Hand off goes to Collins. Backs his way into the end zone for the touchdown. Officially a 1-yard run. The first in the career of Nick Collins. And it's 66-7. 67 points on the board after the game. Josh McKeel, my partner, talked with the players of the game, the Murray Lumber players of the game, and also head coach Mitch Stewart. Here's those interviews.
All right, thank you, Neil. Joining me tonight, we've got an offensive and a defensive player. Joining me first, we're going to talk with our defensive player of the game, Kenny Wooten, 6'1", 235-pound junior from Meridian, Mississippi, at Iwama Community College. First of all, Mr. Wooten, great job, great game tonight. Ended up with 3 sacks. I know it was a great way to come out and kick off the season. I know you're going to be proud of you and your defensive teammates.
Yes, sir.
Right. Again, I know it's been a lot of camp. You know, you hit each other so long. How did it feel tonight to get out against somebody else, be able to peel your ears back and get after an opponent?
Well, it felt great because in practice, I like pass rushing, and I can't hit the quarterback in practice. I get chewed out if I hit the quarterback. So them 3 sacks was well needed. Like, I they were much needed. I needed them.
Absolutely. You get tired of those red jerseys, don't you? So now there weren't any red jerseys out there tonight. Just peel your ears back and go get it. But and you definitely did that. Again, 3 sacks in 1 game. I saw you coming off the edge a lot using those hands. I guess that's your specialty. Use your speed, get back there, and punish quarterbacks. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. I know you're looking forward to the rest of the season. Congratulations to you and your defensive teammates. Y'all did a great night job tonight. You held Kentucky Wesleyan to 159 yards. Tell me a little bit about the game plan going in and Coach Boone and his style and what you all as a defensive side of the ball wanted to come in and accomplish tonight.
We have 5 things we need to accomplish for every game. We need to win the turnover battle, play hard, create turnovers, get sacks, and win the red zone battle. So it was all good. I believe we accomplished all that tonight.
You absolutely did. Again, a lot of sacks, lots of turnovers. Congratulations to you and your defensive teammates. Good luck next week. I know you got to have a long week, but good luck to you and your defensive teammates. I know you'll be ready.
Yes, sir.
All right. Joining me on the offensive side of the ball, we got DJ Pinnock, a running back, 5'10", 195-pound freshman from Highland Park, Illinois. DJ, I know you had a great night tonight. First time running on the collegiate level. And I tell you what, your stats for tonight, you came up and 10 carries for 71 yards and that first collegiate touchdown. Tell me how that felt.
Words can't describe how I felt. I mean, it's an amazing feeling. I just got to give thanks to all my teammates that always push me and all the coaches. Just got to give thanks to everybody.
Absolutely, and that's what good teammates do. And, again, I know when you say give thanks to everybody, you're also talking about that offensive line up there that was opening those holes and giving you those lanes to run through.
You can't do it without them. They're the bread and butter of this team. They're killing it out there, and that's why I have my success. Without them, I don't do anything. So I give all my thanks to them.
Absolutely. I love your humble attitude. You know, offensive tonight, 67 plays for 457 yards. A great start for the Racer offense this year. Congratulations to you. And I know you're looking forward to a great year. We look forward to watching you.
Thank you very much.
And welcome back to the Murray Bank postgame show as the Racers have claimed the first victory of the year, a score of Murray 67, Kentucky Wesleyan 7. And joining me now is Coach Mitch Stewart. Coach, I know you've got to be pleased with tonight's effort. Again, anytime you can come out opening night, again, the rain was falling down all night long, continues to fall. But again, when you can come out and finally hit somebody else and being able to get after it and let your kids play, I know it's a great feeling.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the biggest thing that I was most pleased with tonight is just, you know, we were really, really clean. You know, we didn't have a lot of penalties and things of that nature. You know, there at the end, we had some substitutions, but you always get like that because you've got some guys who have you've sat them out for two quarters, but you know, but then you get into that special teams area where they're still the starter on the special teams. So that usually happens. There's no excuse for it, but I thought for the most part that was what I was most pleased about was we wanted to come out. We had kind of a saying this week: we wanted to leave no doubt. And right. And I thought that our kids did a nice job of focusing in on their job and their task at hand and making sure that we didn't leave a doubt.
Sure, absolutely. And you only had five penalties for 27 yards. Like you said, a very clean night. And talking about clean nights, we did have that one turnover. But when you're playing in a monsoon and you've only had one practice throughout all fall camp that it's even rained at all, right. Got to be pleased with the way that the offense and, you know, that Shuler Bentley was able to control the offense, make sure to protect the football. Again, a total of 457 yards of offense, been very balanced, 243 on the ground, 214 through the air. Got to be pleased with your offense tonight.
I was really, really pleased with the way that we took care of the football. You know, that's our first of five truths is win the turnover battle, and we did that. Offensively, we did a really good job of concentrating and keeping the ball to ourselves. And then defensively, man, anytime you can go in there and get four turnovers, you know, you've got a good chance to win. So that was that's obviously our main focus. If you walk through our halls downstairs, that's the first thing you see is a bunch of signs saying win the turnover battle. We always harp on it in practice, and very, very happy to see the way that, we took the ball away from them and kept it for us.
Again, use the results in good things, and it did tonight as well. You mentioned the four interceptions. And I thought your defense played exceptionally well, controlled the line of scrimmage, made the big play. I really liked the way they were swarming to the football. So, again, looking at what Coach Boone and his staff have done, got to be pleased with what you saw tonight defensively.
I really was. I thought we got to the passer very good. You know, that's our big thing on defense. We want to put hits on the quarterback. We want to get back there. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to sack him all the time, but you want to put hits on him. And I thought we were able to pressure the quarterback a great deal. Obviously, we just talked with Kenny. He had a great night for us. But I thought the other guys did an exceptional job as well, putting pressure on that guy. And, you know, and I thought we tackled really well, you know, out in space. And usually that's the hardest thing on defense in a sloppy night like this, because the offensive guys know where they're going. The defensive guys have to react to where they're going. And I thought that we did a really good job of short striding into tackles and getting the ball on the ground.
Again, great start to the 2017 football season. But, Coach, I know it won't take long till you and your coaches and your players turn your attention to number 15 Central Arkansas September 9th, a week from Saturday, coming here to Roy Stewart Stadium. I know you probably haven't spent much time on them, but I know your coaches will enjoy this win. And then turn your attention to the next opponent against Central Arkansas, September 9th, 6 p.m. here at Roy Stewart Stadium.
Yeah, we'll celebrate every win like we're supposed to, but obviously we've got a big one coming. And I do want to say before I leave, hats off to the Racer faithful who stayed out here during this mess, because we did have some out there in the crowd, man, and they were dancing and cheering. It was really cool. I mean, it was really, really cool. So thank you guys, those of you who are soaked in your car right now, and your car is going to smell terrible in the morning when you get in, and I really, really appreciate you staying out there with us, and look forward to seeing you back next week.
Absolutely. And, Coach, we appreciate what you and your staff and your players have done. Great performance tonight, and we look forward to seeing you, I think, Monday night at the Apple with Hey Coach.
Racers in Central Arkansas a week from Saturday. Last night, a busy night in the league. UT Martin, a 36-0 win over Clarion. Western Illinois defeated Tennessee Tech 41-14. Cincinnati 26, Austin Peay 14. Eastern Illinois down Indiana State 22-20. Tennessee State gets a bowl division win over Georgia State 17-10. Georgia State, a bowl division team, barely. Other regional interest games, Arkansas beat Florida A&M 49-7. Memphis downing Louisiana Monroe 37-29. Ohio State struggled. Only reason I give you that score, you know I'm an Ohio State fan. I'm a Racer fan first, no doubt about it. An Ohio State football fan only. Just grew up around it. Can't help it. But they didn't look good. They were waiting for me to get home from the game. Got home from the game, and they pulled away, beating Indiana 49-21. At least that's the spin I'm going to put on it. Kentucky in action tomorrow. They'll try to get some revenge against Southern Miss for the loss last year. They'll play at Southern Miss, so they'll go into Hattiesburg. And Louisville playing Purdue in Indianapolis, 6:30 the airtime for that. We'll have that for you on 1340 WNBS. Again, we'll talk a bit about this with Bryce, but Crosstown Classic last night was a split. The boys beating Murray High, boys from Callaway County beating Murray 8-0. The Murray girls returned the favor, beating Callaway 5-0. And in volleyball, Callaway with a sweep of Murray. Really good, though. 25-17, 25-22, 25-16 as Callaway County gets the sweep. High school football tonight. Again, we'll talk about that with Bryce in a moment, but Murray High playing Madisonville. Callaway County tomorrow goes against Metcalf County. Murray State Volleyball hitting the road for the second tournament of the season. They'll travel to the Chattanooga Classic to face Louisiana Monroe. Sam Houston State and Chattanooga, they play ULM today. The other two schools tomorrow. Murray is 2-1. 3-0 Murray State soccer team. They'll try to remain unbeaten. They'll square off against 3-1 Northern Kentucky Sunday in Highland Heights. Murray's Harriet Withers goes to the weekend with 5 goals. She's 4 away from the all-time Murray State mark of 34. Barring an injury, I can't imagine she will not pick that up this season. And all three of the wins this season, the Racers have scored 2 goals. So maybe they're due to break out for a little bit more. Always good to get the offense rolling. But they've had enough, so you can't complain about that. Last night, late baseball, Randall Grichuk, a 2-run homer to back 6 innings of 1-run ball from Michael Wacha. Cardinals get by the Giants 5-2 in San Francisco. Wacha had some good games and didn't pitch well, but he's pitched pretty well lately. He's now 10-7 on the season. Tommy Pham, who would have thought he was going to have this kind of season? He's just always kind of been a guy that's up. Looked like he's going to be a lifelong fifth outfielder at best, but he's having a monster year. 3 more hits last night, drove in 2 runs. Cardinals and Giants give it a go tonight at AT&T Park, 9:15. Is the first pitch. We're going to join that one in progress following our coverage of Murray High football. By the way, the Cardinals recalled right-hander John Gant. He's back with the Cardinals, recalled from AAA Memphis before last night's game in San Francisco. The 25-year-old, a 383 earned run average over 103 innings with the Redbirds this summer. The Cardinals also activated left-hander Kevin Segrist from the DL, and then they DFA'd him, designated for assignment. So it looked like he's done. Cardinals making moves. Are they good moves? Who knows? They're not making up any ground on the Cubs, no doubt about that. Down on the farm, AAA Memphis rained out last night at home against Iowa. The Redbirds take a 5-game winning streak into their final series of the season when they take on Colorado Springs beginning tonight. Louisville Bats fell to the Indianapolis Indians, 8-6 in Louisville. Bats starter Wendelin Bautista surrendered 7 runs in the first without recording an out. He took the loss. Louisville opens a series in Columbus tonight. Nashville Sounds home finale against Omaha canceled due to rain. That game won't be made up. Nashville visits New Orleans tonight. Tennessee Titans laid an egg. You know, last exhibition, who knows? You can't put much into this. I've seen teams stink in exhibition and play really well and seen it go the other way, too. Case in point, Browns 3-0. What did they do last night? I'll show you how out of it I was. Let's see. Dub Browns. They beat the Bears, so they go 4-0. How about that? The Browns, a perfect exhibition season. Do you expect them to roll through? Well, we'll see. I think they open up against Pittsburgh, and we'll find out a lot about what the Browns are. But they have improved, no doubt. Again, Titans will just have to wait and see what they do. Titans will open against the Raiders at home a week from Sunday. I believe I told you yesterday, but if not, I wanted to pass this along. Yahoo Sports reporting former Murray State point guard Cam Payne. He'll undergo surgery on his right foot. He'll be sidelined until late November. Payne has had ongoing foot issues since being drafted by Oklahoma City 2 seasons ago. He was expected to compete for starting minutes this season after Jimmy Butler was traded to Minnesota. And our best goes out to Denny Crum, former Louisville coach, the Hall of Famer. Hospitalized in Alaska, suffered what doctors believe might have been a mild stroke. WFPL-FM host Susan Sweeney Crum told the Louisville station her husband became ill while fishing, was airlifted to Providence Hospital in Anchorage. She says the 80-year-old Hall of Fame coach's condition has improved. He could be released from the hospital maybe sometime this weekend. Bryce Rudd of the Murray Ledger and Times joins me. We're going to talk high school football in a moment, but last night was Crosstown Classic night for soccer and volleyball. Bryce, you covered the soccer, and it was a split, and neither game was close. Give us a little thumbnail of what went on last night.
Yeah, the remnants of Hurricane Harvey gave us a little bit of a whirlwind last night with both of them. Obviously, the Murray High Lady Tigers are no different than the team they've been 2 years ago. Yes, they lost a lot of their back line. Yes, they were gassed and fatigued and a little shorthanded against Marshall County last week. But what we saw last night, and especially in the rain, is this, that the Murray High Tigers are still the best offensive team in the first region. Given what Graves County lost, I'm not so sure that they'll be able to replicate another Region 1 title, let alone compete for it. The Murray High just absolutely came out and meant serious business. They lost two straight games. That's something that Shauna Traylor and the Lady Tigers just do not do. And that's exactly what they did. They came out with a purpose, Lydia Grogan. And, I mean, it was by far the wettest 4 hours of my sports writing career to date. And I honestly, when I got there at about 5:20, about 10 minutes, I said, all right, we'll play maybe 3-4 minutes, and this rain's coming fast. It'll go hard, and then we'll be done, and they'll call it, and we'll have to make it up God knows when.
Uh-huh.
But, man, you got to credit these girls. We don't give them enough props with how much of a fighter mentality that these girls and the guys had. I mean, it rained nonstop for 4 hours, and they seemed to thrive on it. If anything, it didn't bother them one bit. Lydia Grogan had a hat trick. It may have been her first of the season, I think. Murray and Callaway, you know, Callaway, the Lady Tigers have been, or the Lady Lakers have been playing pretty good soccer the last stretch of last week or two since the season has begun for head coach Jeremy Somm is really in as organized as I've seen them play with Hannah Dodd at goalie. You know, they beat Graves on Tuesday night, but just could not get much of any kind of breathing room against this Murray High Lady Tiger team. That seems very poised on making up for what they felt should have been a Region 1 repeat last season.
And the boys from Callaway County, they've made a statement here early in the season with their play, haven't they?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe not as much as McCracken has, the defending Region 1 champs, but Callaway the last week has played as good a soccer as anyone in Region 1. They just beat Graves County on Tuesday. Again, another Graves County team that really has nothing compared to what they did last year. Lost Roddy Garcia, lost their goalkeeper in Grand Jackson, and their best returning player, Alex Orlano, I think tore his ACL early in practice during the season, so he's out the whole season. That is not the Graves County team that we saw last year, but we also hope that this isn't the Callaway County team that we saw last year. Callaway, while they had the talent, just looked disengaged a lot of the time, and I would not give any of that to Alex, to Coach Alex Willander, who did a phenomenal job, as phenomenal as I've seen covering Region 1 soccer for 3 years. But Evan Pierce has his own mentality. He's got his own game plan, and he's put it to good. It's a darn good use. And that showed on Thursday night. And not only, I mean, I thought it would be a good game. And for the first, 10 minutes, Murray played okay. But Callaway, as young as they still look, man, they still got a lot of seniors on that team. Christian Adams, Jacob Smith is older. Ty Davenport's a senior. Aaron Dawson, their goalkeeper's a senior. And for what I thought would be maybe a 4-3 game, I honestly thought it would be by far the best soccer, the closest soccer game that I've covered. Was nothing short of an ambush. I mean, Callaway spent no time. There was no love lost between the two teams. They got chippy a little bit near the end, but by the time it did, Callaway had already shut the door, and they really glued it shut with Christian Adams, a hat trick, who is on his way to becoming the all-time leading scorer at Callaway County. I think he trails former teammate Brian Wilhelm by one goal. I think the record is 70. Last I've heard, set by Brian last year. Adams is at 69, so two would get him there, but I'm not so sure they'll play in Bowling Green this weekend. Would have loved to see him down in Murray, but what Callaway County did to Jared Rosa and the young Murray High Tigers, was certainly enough convincing for me that no records needed to be set on that night.
Now, the volleyball was a clean sweep for Callaway County, so we've had 2 weeks of Crosstown Classic action, and we're dead even at two each for each school.
Pardon? Murray won the volleyball game.
Oh, they did? Okay, all
yeah,
right.
They had it wrong on KHSAA.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's where I got the score. All right.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you can't always depend on them, even though they're, it seems to be our main source of score sometimes. But Murray High played really well, and I talked to their new head coach, Abby Kelly, last night. You know, don't have the record that you would think would compete in such a tough district such a tough region, but this game always means everything, and Murray High definitely celebrated last night. The best game they played, best game of volleyball so far they played under Sydney Tucker and Sydney Coons and Emma Muncy and those girls.
Wow, that was big time, and sorry that I had that incorrect. I just kind of went with when I get in late from football, it just kind of take what I can get right there.
Yeah, didn't, you got about 10 minutes to get it all together, then it's deadline.
Didn't double check that. But we have football tonight. Murray High trying to build on their win last week. They go to Madisonville. Probably be a little bit sloppy over there against a 4A team with a really good running back. How do you see this going, Bryce?
Yeah, well, I was planning on going to Madisonville tonight, but I'm going to have Brian give some live updates, hopefully, on Twitter. I'm actually going to make the drive to Metcalf County tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have a little more sunshine, and I'll watch Callaway County try to get their first win of the season. But as for Murray, that was certainly sharing the football, and the spread offense was certainly the recipe that Coach Hodge and the rest of the Tiger staff was looking for. Last weekend, you talk about going from week zero to where hardly anybody was making a play outside of Chase Maris, their new running back. And now in last week against Callaway, not only did you have Chase Maris, but you had four other guys score. You had Mark Thompson, by far the biggest game of his Tiger career so far. Hunter Utley played much better, had over 200 passing yards, three passing touchdowns, and rush for another. And then on top of that, you had DeJavonny Miles, what I believe his younger brother, DeJuan Miles, came in for a corner touchdown there. And then what was the biggest play of the game and what I really think separated Murray from Callaway last night was the Michael Parks 50-yard, 84-yard play in all, where Michael caught it. Somehow the football gods kept him in bounds at the 50-yard line, tiptoed his way all the way for his first rushing touchdown of the season. Hunter Utley looked much more focused, had some more time in the pocket, played much better with the Madisonville North Hopkins this weekend. They're a ground-and-pound team, so you're not going to see the ball in the air as much as you had against Graves and against Jacob Bella and the Callaway County Lakers. I suspect this is a game that Murray can win, obviously. As to whether I would favor them, I still have not seen enough out of Murray High just yet. Madisonville North Hopkins, normally a team that plays Callaway County in their zone, but Murray gets them right now and gets them early. I think this is the right time for Murray to make their first road trip of the season. And if anybody can play in the in these blistery conditions that we're inevitably going to see tonight, it's Keith Hodges, young Murray High Tigers.
Now, tomorrow night, you talked about the game you're covering. It'll probably be nice weather, but muddy. Callaway County, I was there, saw the same thing you did in week one, and you saw some week one stuff for Callaway County. They had some missed tackles, some issues, but I saw a lot of promising things. However, I understand they're a little bit beat up heading into the game Saturday night.
Yeah, week one ended up being week one, W-E-A-K, for the Callaway County Lakers. It was, you know, obviously the most anticipated season of game of their season after coming off their best season in nearly a decade. But after scoring and, you know, matching tit for tat, the first two touchdowns with Murray High, Callaway County just didn't have anything left in the tank. And what we talked about last week, Neil, those turnovers, Murray had three against Graves, cost them. Graves made him pay for every one. And then Graves lost to Caldwell County, so we saw that Graves is not as good as we maybe saw them in week zero. But then who capitalized on the turnovers last week? It was Murray. Callaway had three turnovers, the same Murray had. And this time it was Murray making the effort and making the turnaround. Murray didn't have any, Neil. And really the play of the game that I think separated it all was the first punt return, and Callaway dropped it at their own 2-yard line in an attempt for their first rush, and Murray took advantage and they scored on the first play, a short rush by Hunter Utley. Callaway's going to have to fix the early turnovers, even though they did a good job of keeping up with Murray early on. You know, like I said, for the first five possessions, I think we saw scores, and you know, it was 6-7 and then 14-12. Callaway thought special teams would kill them. As long as they've got Jacob Bella, Neil, we'll say they've got a chance. Metcalf County was just a team we do not know much about. They like to throw and they like to score in bunches. It's a team that put up over 40 points last week. Metcalf doesn't have the football history that Callaway County maybe has. But Metcalf's going to have to be taken seriously. And for what many people would think would normally be a throwaway game, Cal would go on the road and they'll probably win. This is one they're certainly going to have to earn. And Bella's going to need some help. They had Kevin Robertson in the air, 47, 48 yards. They had Daryl Stribling go off of that 50-yard rush, and it was the biggest play of the game. But Callaway didn't score for another 30 minutes, and Bella, as much as he got roughed up, he's tough, and there's a reason that he was number five on the Gridiron Glory top 10 players of the West Kentucky preseason. Neil and I can't guarantee that either Murray or Callaway are going to get wins tonight and tomorrow, but I would say certainly there's it's probably in the likelihood of 60-40.
Wow. I'll tell you what, we will certainly enjoy the games and enjoy your coverage there for the Ledger. Bryce, thanks for being with me, and we'll look forward to talking with you next week.
Absolutely. Look forward to being home again, but this is a three-hour drive. I can't miss Metcalf County. There's not much more there than cattle. So if my tweets are slow, it's definitely going to be the service.
Okay.
So can't be any worse than Tuesday night when the joke I had, Graves was really packing it in. They played a 5-4-1 on Tuesday night. And I said, you know, the reason I'm having slow cell service is because of all these buses Graves has got back there, and I can't get out to anybody.
There you go. Well, it works.
We'll be ready.
All right. That is Bryce Rudd of the Murray Ledger and Times. And, again, we appreciate him. We'll see you back here on Tuesday.